study we began last week through the book of Colossians.
And kind of the key verse for us in this study, so many great verses in Colossians, but Colossians 2:10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation that he gives us is sufficient for everything. He is everything. He is all and in all. And when we have faith in Christ, we are complete in him. When you have Jesus, you don't need anything else. But we want to learn and grow. And so tonight we're going to learn about some keys to spiritual growth. Colossians chapter 1. And our text tonight is verses 9, 10, and 11. If you're able, let's stand to honor the word of God tonight. Colossians 1 and verse number 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please bless it as we look into it tonight. Help us to learn ways that we can grow in you and in your word and in your work. Please, Lord, just help that we would be convicted by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to realize our need for growth. And Lord, help us to strive towards that and by your Spirit to grow day by day. Lord, just thank you for all that are here tonight. And we do ask that you would work in us and through us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Somebody asked a little boy how old he was, and he said, "I'm 4 years old." They said, "Well, when are you going to?" He said, "I'm 3 years old." They said, "Well, when are you going to be 4? And he said, "When I'm done being 3. Well, you'll be 4 when you're done being 3, and wherever you're at, you'll be something else when you're done being whatever you are. But when you think about growth, we have to move forward from where we're at today to somewhere else. And if we're satisfied with where we're at in our spiritual growth, we're never going to be anything else. You got to get done being 3 so you can be 4. And where every person in this room tonight is at a different place in their spiritual growth. Some haven't been saved very long. Some have been saved for a long, long time, and some are somewhere in the middle. And even when you consider how long you've been saved, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've been growing since you've been saved. And so wherever you are in your spiritual life, we ought to have a desire to grow. Last week, when we started this series of messages, we saw that the church at Colossae was commended for their faithfulness to God. They were faithful to him. They were faithful to his word. They were faithful to his service. And he says in verse 9, "For this cause," in other words, because they had begun by having faith in God and they were continuing in their faith and love for God, they could grow. And so we've got to have that faith in God, a desire to grow. The question tonight is, are you content in your Christian maturity? Or do you have a desire to grow? I hope that you have a desire to grow in faithfulness and fruitfulness in the Lord's work. I hope that you have a desire to grow closer to the Lord than you've ever been before. We ought to have that desire to grow, but we got to recognize the fact that we need to grow. John Newton said, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am." And wherever you're at today, understand we're complete in Christ. It doesn't matter how much we grow or don't grow. Everything is that we are is in Christ, and our salvation is secure in Christ. And we don't grow so that we can be saved, but we ought to grow because we are saved. We don't need to grow so we can be more complete in Christ. You can't be any more complete in Christ today than you were the moment he saved you. But we ought to desire to grow because we are complete in Christ, because he has saved us. Notice a few things with me this evening that we need to grow, first of all, in the will of God. He says, "For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." First of all, we need to grow in the will of God. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. In other words, we know a little bit about the will of God. When you got saved, you knew it wasn't God's will for you to perish, but that you would have everlasting life. And so you grew in an understanding of that. You responded in faith. And so then you were saved. But it doesn't stop there. God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. He wants us to continue to grow for his will to be, the knowledge of his will to fill us up. And so we need to grow in the will of God. Most of us are very well acquainted with our own will. I know what I want. I know what I want to do. I know what I want to have. I know how I want to live. But what we need to do is grow in the knowledge of his will. Luke 2 and verse 40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him." Did you know that Jesus Christ experienced spiritual growth? I don't know that I'll ever understand that. But Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God who put on human flesh, he gave us an example to follow, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. He grew physically, and he grew spiritually. How much more should we seek to be filled with the knowledge of his will when we look at Jesus? We've got to start living for God's will and not our own. In John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus Christ was always focused on doing his Father's will. Always focused on doing God's will. So how much more should we who have been purchased by his blood be concerned about doing his will? But in order to grow, we first have to know. He says, "Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom." Now, wisdom is a practical skill. Somebody once told me that wisdom is knowledge applied. There's a lot of people who know a lot of stuff up here, but wisdom's when you take what you've learned from the Word of God and you actually do it. It's practical. It's acumen. It's when you understand something and you become skillful with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would please turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, find verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I know that was a long reading, but I just want you to hear it. God's word says, listen, there's a couple of different kinds of wisdom. But Paul said to the church of Corinth, I didn't come with man's wisdom. I didn't come with enticing words. I didn't come and try to impress you with my worldly knowledge, my carnal knowledge, or my physical ability. We didn't come with man's wisdom. We didn't come with man's understanding. We came with spiritual wisdom. We came with the wisdom that comes from God. And he says, well, where does that wisdom come from? Well, the spirit of man can tell you about the things of man, but only the spirit of God can tell you about the things of God. And so when we are going to grow in the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, that wisdom has to come from the Holy Spirit of God. He goes on to say that it's not just the spirit, but it's the words that the spirit teaches. Well, where do we get the words of the spirit? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Listen, the Spirit of God is going to teach us from the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is our guide and our teacher. And so when you bow before the Lord and say, Lord, please speak to me through your Word. Please teach me through your Word. And you open up this book and you read it, the Holy Spirit of God will give you wisdom from his Word. Are you with me? Well, it's complicated stuff, I know. But here's what I don't understand. The wisdom of God from the Word of God that comes by the power of the Spirit of God is available to us day by day. And yet we don't look for it. We don't search for it. We don't study. We don't pray like we should. And it's all available to us. He says, I want you to grow in the knowledge of his will through wisdom. And I'm going to give you wisdom through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. And James 1 and verse 5 and 6 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so this wisdom of God is available to us so that we could grow in the will of God, because we have our own ideas about what God's will is. I am amazed at how divided our country is today. I've not been around that long, but I don't know that any of you have ever seen, however long you've been around, have ever seen our nation so divided. When you read articles on contrary viewpoints, like politics, we got a lot of politics going on. It's amazing to me how completely opposed people are. There's no common ground on the issues of the day. People are diametrically, completely opposed to one another. But the other thing that I'm amazed with is Christians. How opposed Christians are with one another. And their viewpoints are so completely skewed from one another. How is that possible? Because a lot of times we're going with our own wisdom instead of getting into God's word and going with God's wisdom. And when we stop caring about what the Bible says and we only care about what we think, then we're living in the world of man's wisdom. And we're not going to have the knowledge of the will of God. We need to grow in his will by his wisdom, and he says, and spiritual understanding. The word understanding means to put together in your mind. It's when you start having things click together from the Word of God. And I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing as you study the Word of God, how everything just fits. Have you ever had one of those experiences when you're studying something and it's just like the light bulb comes on and you go, oh, I get it now. And that works perfectly with this passage over here, which works perfectly with exactly what God said over here. And it all fits together. What is that? That is spiritual understanding. when God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in His Word, puts it all together for us, that spiritual understanding, it all fits together. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know how we grow in spiritual understanding? When we start to consider what He says. You know what the word consider means? It means to exercise your mind. There's stuff going through your mind all the time. I feel confident in saying that. As I look around, I wonder if I should be confident, but I think there's stuff going on in your mind most of the time. Most of you, some people are able to clear their mind, and that's an easy thing, but most of you aren't like that. We've got the stuff running around in our brains all the time. That little rat is always on the wheel up there. And what God wants us to do is to exercise our minds towards His Word and His will and His wisdom. And so when we pray and we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and He reveals this wisdom, then we exercise our mind towards those things and we grow in spiritual understanding. But when our minds are filled with what we watched on TV last night, or our minds are filled with the latest gossip on Facebook, or our minds are filled with whatever the big media hype is of the day, when our minds are filled with every other thing but the Word of God, we're not going to grow in spiritual understanding. So we've got to fill our hearts and minds with this Word. Grow in the will of God. Know His will. You can't do His will until you know His will. And if we're going to know His will, we've got to get in His Word. Number two, grow in your walk with God. He goes on to say, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, you know what our walk is. Our walk is our daily life. The Bible uses the word conversation. As we grow in Christ, our daily living will change. As you grow in Christ, your daily life will change. If your daily life isn't changing, that means you're not growing. We don't always want to be growing, though. When I was a little boy, I'd wake up in the night just crying because my legs hurt. And because I haven't really gotten over it. I'm a baby. I hate pain. And so I would just cry. My mom and dad would give me some Tylenol. I remember my dad would come and he'd rub those legs till I'd fall back asleep. And they finally got tired of me crying. My mom probably got tired of losing sleep. So she took me to the doctor. And you know what the doctor said? Growing pains. That's right. It's not just the name of an old show. It's what the doctor says. Well, he said, listen, when you grow, he said the muscles, they separate and the bone stretches and all that stuff's going on and it hurts. You know, growth isn't always pleasant. When Brother Pinkovich was here Sunday, he talked about how we like to be comfortable. We like to be comfortable. That was my best, Brother Pinkovich. You like it? We want to be comfortable. We like our nice padded pews and we like our air conditioner. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone, but growth doesn't happen in our comfort zone. And God wants us to grow not only in His will, but He wants us to grow in our walk. And if our lives have been the same for years and years and years, and our daily life isn't changing, we're not changing by the Word of God. And if you've got this idea in your mind or heart tonight that I am good with where I'm at in my walk with Christ, what you're saying is that you no longer need to be conformed to the image of Christ. If you don't need to grow anymore, what you're saying is that you are exactly like Jesus today. Now, anybody had to be outside of their mind to say that. But we say that with our attitude when we don't think we need to grow. Because here's what we want to do. We want to compare ourselves to other people. I tried to do this. I'm picking on my mom tonight. My mom was never satisfied with what I did. She would get on to me for my attitude. She'd get on to me for the way I stood. She would get on to me for the way my clothes fit. She'd get on to me for the way my hair was done. I mean, she was never satisfied. And, you know, all I could ever think about is at least I'm not as bad as these other kids I go to school with. I could be doing drugs, Mom. I get it. Maybe my pants are a little loose and I need to pull them up, but at least I'm not, you know, a junkie. But you know what? My attitude hasn't changed because that's the way we are sometimes. Yeah, maybe I'm not just like Jesus. Maybe I'm not everything I need to be, but at least I'm not like they are. But our goal is not to be better than they are. Amen. Jesus Christ is our goal. Amen. And our daily walk needs to change. The things that are not pleasing for the Lord will become unpleasant for us when we're growing in our walk with Christ. We begin to have a growing and a burning desire to please God above all else. We feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when we behave unseemly or in a way that doesn't fit with the new nature that He has given to us. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We've got to have our conversation such that becomes the gospel. In other words, again and again, God says it in so many different ways, but He says, you are a child of God now, act like it. Live like a Christian. Live like you've been born again. Put off the old man and put on the new man, and live a life that is becoming of the gospel. Live a life that fits. Don't be a hypocrite. Sing the song with the kids. I don't want to be a hypocrite. By the way, how many of you had that song in your head for a couple of days after Sunday? Anybody? Just, yeah. By the way, Magdalene loves it. She wants to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. She enjoys that song. Who are we pleasing? Who are we pleasing with our daily walk? Are we growing in our walk for God? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk worthy of the Lord. You imagine what our lives would look like if every day we were striving to walk worthy of His name, to walk worthy of the life that He's given us. Strive to please Him. Grow in the will of God. Grow in your walk with God. Number three, grow in your work for God. He said, being fruitful in every good work. If it's good, do it. If it's worth doing, do it right. If it's worth doing right, do it for the glory of God. Bear fruit. Live out the fruit of the Spirit in genuine, blood-bought, sin-cleansed heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, Jesus said that a good tree brings forth good fruit and an evil tree brings forth evil fruit. I want to talk to you about the good tree for a minute. If we have been born again, we're a good tree. Right? Because the seed of the Word of God has been planted in the soil of our hearts and it sprung forth into life everlasting. But Jesus said good trees bring forth good fruit. Now, all of us are going to bring forth a different amount of fruit, right? He said some bring 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. But all of the good ones brought forth fruit. There's evidence. What is fruit? My in-laws are so good to us. And Melissa's grandpa is staying with them right now and he's retired. And he's always got to be doing something. So they made a bunch of raised gardens, those raised planters. And we've got a couple of them at our house now. And then they gave us some plants. And I went over there last night and they said, this is a squash plant and this is a zucchini plant and this is a cucumber. And they're telling me all this. And I'm like, uh-huh. Listen, some of you guys right now, you know the difference between a squash and a zucchini, right? Because one of them's got little jaggedy pointed edges and the other one's the leaves are more curved, right? I have no idea which one's which. I don't know. They told me. I don't have a clue. But I said, don't worry. When they start putting fruit on, I'll know what they are. Because I may not be able to tell the difference in their leaves today. But I can tell the difference between a yellow squash and a zucchini. And by the way, zucchini's better. Just saying. I don't know what they are. We're planting them, and I have no idea what's, who knows. I hope something comes up. It's going to be awesome. You know, when you buy them, they got the little sign. They stick there so you know. But I'm just telling you, if somebody came around and switched the signs, I wouldn't know the difference. But a tree's known by its fruit. It's in, and for us spiritually, it's the outward evidence of our life. Love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith. There's evidence in our life. We're not who we used to be. I'm somebody different. And by the way, fruit is something that's supposed to keep producing, right? Listen, if you got a fruit tree in an orchard and it produces fruit 1 year but stops producing fruit the next 5 years, the guy with the orchard's not going to put up with that. It's wasting valuable real estate. He's going to get rid of that thing and get a tree that actually makes some fruit. And so we've got to realize, friend, and don't take that the wrong way. We're going to lose our salvation. I feel like I got to explain that every time I say anything. But listen, God wants us to grow in our work. He wants us to be fruitful in every good work. What about it? We got those zucchini plants. Those zucchini plants didn't come from the store, just already plants. Somebody had to plant a seed, right? You know what kind of seed they planted? It was a zucchini seed. Jesus Christ has called us to be disciples. Continue in my word and you'll be my disciples indeed. You know what kind of fruit disciples make? They make disciple fruit. God has called us to go and make disciples. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And we need to be working every day to plant the seed of the word of God in the hearts of others and water that seed with real fervent prayer and bring those who are ready to be saved to Christ through the word of God so that they can repent and believe and be saved. Bear fruit by doing good works. And when we go out soul winning, or you witness to people day by day, you teach a class, you sing a song, you drive the van, you help somebody, you give to somebody in need, you help around the church house, you encourage others, whatever it is, everything we do ought to be done with the idea, I am doing this good thing so that I can be fruitful in the work of God. Not only that, we need to grow in the wisdom of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. This is, friends, we don't need to just know about God. We need to know God. I don't know if I was just... I still don't know that I get it. But when I was a young man growing up in church, I wanted to know things, and it was a big deal to me. I wanted to know my Bible verses, and I wanted to know all those things, and I wanted to know the right answers in class. But if we're not real careful, it becomes about that stuff. Knowing the books of the Bible. Saying them frontwards and backwards. Knowing who all the prophets were. Knowing where the Bible says this or that. Those are all great things. But if we're not careful, it just becomes knowing about him instead of really knowing him. He's called us to grow in the knowledge of God, that we would know him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, when we get in the Word of God and we learn about God, it helps us so that we can know him. We have an intimate relationship with God as we increase in the knowledge of God, knowing him. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And when we're willing to have a change in our will, not my will, God, but your will, I want to grow in your will. When we have a change in our walk, I don't want to just keep doing what I want to do, God. I want to walk the way you want me to walk. I want my life to be what you want it to be. When we grow in the work of God, when we're not just concerned about going through the motions, but we want to be fruitful in our work for God and see people come to Christ and see lives changed and have evidence that we've been changed by the Word of God, then we can begin to grow in our closeness with God to know him. And then lastly tonight, grow in the wonderful power of God. He says in verse 11 in our text, Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Grow in the wonderful power of God. Strengthen with all might. That word might, it means force. It means specifically, it's talking about miraculous power. It's ability. It's might. It's strength. It's the wonderful work of God. And I want you to get this. We think about wonderful works of God. We think about Moses raising his staff and parting the Red Sea. We think about miracles like Daniel being thrown in there with the hungry lions and God shutting their mouths, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to where they're in that fiery furnace heated 7 times more than it was ever known to be heated. The guards burned up when they opened the door. But man, those 3 Hebrew boys go in there. They come out, don't even have the smell of smoke on them. I mean, think about these wonderful works. But I don't want you to miss this. You are a wonderful work of God. I mean, the greatest work the Lord has ever done is to take a degenerate sinner and give them life everlasting. You say, well, I mean, that's not really Red Sea. No, that's far greater than the Red Sea. I mean, that's not fiery furnace. No, that's way better than the fiery furnace. That's God pulling you out of your condemnation, where you were headed to the flames of the lake of fire for all eternity. And by the way, not even the smell of the smoke of that place will ever be on you. Now, God's done a wonderful work in our life. And he says, I want you to be strengthened with all might so that you can do the will of God and have the right walk with God and do the right work for God and grow in the wisdom of God so that you can, all of that's made possible by the wonderful power of God. He says, according to his glorious power. What is the power that worketh in us? It's the power of Almighty God. It's the power that created the entire universe. That power that spoke this whole creation into existence is the same power that works in us today. The power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that works in us today. It's his glorious power. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. But one of the first verses you probably learned to memorize was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I can't do anything without him, but with him I can do everything. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have the glorious power of God working in our lives, and he does that through us when we surrender to his will and we obey his word. He says, unto all patience. Did you know the word patience has to do with endurance? It literally means cheerful endurance. It means that you just keep going. You see, this life that we live in Christ has been likened to a race, but it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we need to start well, and we need to run well, and we need to finish well. And so we run this race, we go through everything in our lives with cheerful endurance. How do we do that? We do it through the power of God. And he says, and long suffering, forbearance for outside attacks, and fortitude for inward battles. Long suffering. It's not just about putting up with everything around us. Long suffering is going through the battles that we fight inside of us. That we stay in the fight. That we continue on no matter what. How do we do that? We do it by relying on his strength. And through it all, with joyfulness. Do you have joy in your life today? We should have joy. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Right? Happiness is a fleshly thing. Happiness is some response to some physical or emotional thing. The other day I was in the grocery store and I walked by and they had the zebra cake flavored Swiss rolls. That made me happy. It did. I'm still a little happy about it. That's happy. But it's fleeting. Because I took them home and my kids ate half of them and they're all gone now. Now I'm not happy. That's worldly happiness. But this is something different. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. With all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. What's he talking about? Patience and long suffering. Because when you start trying to grow in Christ, it's not easy. The devil hates it when we try to live for the Lord. Our flesh doesn't want to live for the Lord. We've got the world, the flesh, and the devil fighting against us every step of the way as we try to grow in the Lord. And it's not easy. So we got to have patience. And we got to have long suffering. But God says you can do it all with joyfulness. Now, this joy isn't like our happiness that we get from Little Debbie's. No, this is something completely different. This is something that happens deep down in our soul. This is something that's inside of us through the Holy Spirit of God. And it has no, everything around us, our circumstances have no bearing on our joy. Because when it's a beautiful, sunshiny day, hasn't the weather been incredible? I mean, it's just beautiful every day. And but that doesn't affect our joy. Well, you might wake up or go home tonight and it may be storming and terrible weather all night. That's not an impact on our joy. It may be a great day at work, or every day may be like Monday at work. I talked to a lady on the phone yesterday and she was having some trouble. I was trying to order a sink and there was some trouble and she said, it is Monday all over again. And see, I know what that means. You know what that means. We don't like Mondays. It's a bad day. But see, Mondays, and when every day of the week's like a Monday, that doesn't affect our joy. You see, our joy is not rooted in our circumstances. Joy that we have in growing in Christ is found in him and him alone. And you see, Jesus is right here every day when the sun's shining, when it's storming. He's right here every day when things are going good at work and when things are going lousy. He's right here every day when everything at the house is running like a well-oiled machine. I don't know that that's ever happened, but... And he's there when every time I talk to Melissa, the children are referred to as my children. You know, she says, your kids. You see, the joy doesn't have anything to do with our circumstances. That joy is Christ in us. And no matter what happens, no matter what our circumstances are, we can grow in Christ day by day with joy, because I am his and he is mine. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while our musicians are getting ready, would you stand with me, please?